I began a series on Wednesday night called Overcoming Anxiety. And we're going to advance that this morning and talk about living in victory in our souls, living in the peace of God. God's will is that you live in peace, not anxiety, not stress, not discomfort, not any kind of disruption of what God would give you as his child. We'll be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter, where Jesus gives us a prolonged, beautiful message about living free from anxiety. Before I open up the word, let me share something funny. Mrs. Smart was fumbling in her purse for the offering when a large television remote fell out and clattered into the aisle. The curious usher bent over to retrieve it for her and whispered, "Do you always carry your TV remote to church?" "No," she replied, "but my husband refused to come with me this morning, and I figured this was the most evil thing I could do to him legally." Any women here got a remote in your purse? Hey, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." Wow. He's going to say that 3 or 4 times in these 10 verses. That is the theme of this passage of Christ. Do not worry about your life. The word worry there is a Greek word that means to be anxious, to be at unrest, to be upset, to have emotional discomfort. So don't be anxious, don't be stressed, don't be worried about your life. So Christ, anything Jesus asks us to do, he also empowers us to do. So the Bible doesn't just give us commandments. It gives us grace to live in the promise that was spoken to us by Christ. So don't worry about your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Don't worry. Be happy." All the baby boomers got that rest of you. Google it. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothing? Now, Christ used 3 things to kind of talk about the commonality of the human condition, food and drink and clothing. But he is talking about more than just food and clothing and drinking. He's talking about the entirety of life. But he uses these 3 because they're some of the most common things. Not everyone's a parent, not everyone's married, not everyone has a business, not everyone has. So there are a lot of different areas that we can be, encumbered in worry with. But he gives us 3 examples. And he says, don't worry about any of these things. And he's building a beautiful promise to us as his children. Then he says to us, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So my first point is simple. God loves you more than a bird. And he loves birds. God's not anti-birds. He cares for them. In Latin, this is called a proi, when you compare 2 things, a lesser and a greater. And the idea is, if the lesser truth is obvious, how much more is the greater truth? If God takes care of birds, how much more will he take care of his children? Okay? Are you not more valuable than they? So he's building the heart of God, showing us the caring, loving, nurturing, providing, protecting, gracious heart of our Father that gives us the faith to step out of worry into trust. Which of you, by worrying, can add 1 cubit, 1 foot of stature? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They neither grow nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even in Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of them. So he's now gone to flowers. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Just a couple of things. So he's now talking about flowers, and he said, look how God takes care of flowers. And the flowers, they're not stressed out. They're not they're not toiling, they're not working, they're not contending. He says, so a couple of things. He said, if worrying could make you better, he said, which of you by worrying could add a cubit? So some of you, if worry could make you taller, you'd be 27 feet tall. But worry doesn't change anything. Okay? I put it in your notes. Worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't take you anywhere. So it distracts you, it deters you, it deceives you into the true nature of where you stand with God. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its problems, it only empties today of its strength. Worry is a tax on your future. Worry is the enemy of your happiness. Worry will never change the outcome. I think I referred to it at the end of the worship today. You can't worship and worry at the same time. Just worship your way out of your worry, okay? Worry is a complete waste of time. It doesn't change anything. All it does is steal your joy and keeps you busy doing nothing. So as believers, so we've been given the commandment of Christ, do not worry. And then Christ inserts then one of the causation. He says, won't God take care of you if he takes care of birds, if he takes care of flowers, oh, you have little faith. So one of the ways to overcome worry is to engage my faith in who God really is, in his promises, in his nature, in his true character. So my faith can destroy my worry. By faith in God, I can overcome a worrisome mind, an anxious mind, my faith in God. So, because a lot of times worry is attached to uncertainty about our future. So Christ said, if you really knew God, if you knew how good he is, if you knew how great he is, you'd never worry. You'd never worry. You'd never be afraid. So we want to keep moving in our relationship with God in a great way, so that we are neither afraid or worried. Amen? That's God's will for your life. So he goes on to say, now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today is tomorrow's cast in the oven, how will he not clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, verse 31, once again, do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. If you want to be a prayer warrior, have a child. Children turn you into a prayer warrior because they give you. I found that my awesome son Matthew's here, my grandson Roman sitting in the front row taking studious notes of my sermon. And the cool thing about, kids is when they're young, all Matthew has four beautiful kids, they're growing up, and when they're young, you still have some control over them. You could tell them, yes and no. You can control their timelines, their friends, and you can create a culture. When they get old, all of a sudden, they're out there. And so I kept thinking when I was raising kids, when my kids get up, I'll have no worries. I found out when my kids became adults, I had more worries. Because they're outside the orbit of my, parental control. They're own adults now. And so if you're not careful, your whole life, there's always something to worry about. So when we trust God by putting our family in God's hands, our needs, our problems, our wants, our hurts, when we put them in God's hands, we're trusting him, and worry then loses its foothold in our soul. Our faith in God, our trust in God, removes the power of worry to control the way we live our life. One of the things I liked that I wrote this week was this: worry is a misuse of your imagination. Because worry imagines trouble. Worrying imagines worst outcomes. Most of what you worried about last year didn't happen this year. And most of what you worry about this year won't happen next year. So worry has a detrimental effect because it robs my faith of the opportunities of blessings and promises and breakthroughs. It diminishes my emotional health. It can even affect my physical health. What worries you controls you. And so, like we sang, oh, you reign in my soul. Well, he cannot reign in a soul that's occupied with worry. So we allow him to reign in our soul by bringing the righteousness of his promise, the greatness of his promise to us. the surety of his love for us. We stand upon his promises. We stand in the foundation of his love, and we then overcome the grip of anxiety to control us. So I said a couple of things this week to people, like, stop worrying about the people who aren't happy with you. They're not happy with themselves either. So just always recognize this, you know, hurt people, unhappy people, unhappy people. So make sure that you don't personalize every person who has some kind of attitude towards you, who is unhappy with what you're doing. Don't worry about people who aren't happy with you. Sometimes in families, there are people who use emotional control to manipulate family members. And so the family members will try to keep that person happy. But that's an unhealthy, toxic way of living. So the person we want to keep happy is Jesus. Amen. We want to keep God. We're living for an audience of one. Serving him, loving him, obeying him, following him. That's God's promise for us. The second thing I put out in social media was, don't worry why people don't like you and act hatefully to you. Why? They do it because the spirit in you irritates the devil in them. See, and I'm not, you know, belittling people that are unhappy, that are miserable, that are irritated. But if you have the Holy Ghost and you don't have to do nothing, the devil hates Holy Spirit people. Why? They are a threat to his kingdom, his reign, his dominion, and influence. So when you're anointed, you never have to go looking for an enemy. People will hate you in office for no reason. You don't even know them. They're conspiring. She's this, she's that, something wrong. But it's what controlling them. The spirit in you, okay? The spirit in you, the Holy Spirit in you is irritating the devil in them. So as Christians, we want to make sure that we're not letting someone else's behavior dominate our emotional condition, controlling the levers of our happiness. Okay? So for us as believers, let's go on, Jesus. He gives us some more really cool teaching here. Verse 31, do not worry. Saying, here's what a worried person, what are we going to eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Now, a couple points. God's not against you having clothes. Thank you for coming to church with clothes on. God's not against you going out for lunch. God's not against you going to the grocery store. He's against those things consuming your thought life in an anxious way. So the anxiety of those things is what God wants you to overcome. He's not against people planning. He's against people worrying. Okay? For after all these things, verse 32, the Gentiles seek, okay? So the world, a world that does not know God, seeks a diminished priority, seeks a different kind of caliber of life, a different kind of quality of life. Next line, so powerful. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Shandai mandai. What does that mean? My prayer life is not the place where I introduce my needs to God. My prayer life is where I express my faith in God to meet my need. Come on. Yeah, we give him our needs, but we give them in faith. God, I thank you. As I give my children to you, as I give my finance, I give my future to you, I thank you. You're in control, that you're going to do exceedingly abundant above all I could ask or think, that you work all things together for my good. Thank you, God, for what you're working, you're doing in my world, in my story, in my needs. Verse 33 is the high point, to me at least, of this entire teaching by Christ. And he says this to us, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So here's what he's saying. Develop a kingdom mentality about life. And when you think kingdom, you never think need. When you think kingdom, you never think lack. When you think kingdom, there's no room for anxiety to cripple your heart, your actions, your words, because you're thinking like God. You're thinking according to the promises of God, which renew our mind and give us the perspective of the kingdom of God. Kingdom-minded, and then righteousness. So righteousness is who I am in Christ. So righteousness, basically, is God telling us we're his kids. I once was an orphan. He came to the orphanage of sin, purchased me by his blood, and adopted me to his family, and calls me his own. So righteousness, praise stuff. So the more righteousness that gets inside of you, the more boldness comes out of you. The righteous are bold as a lion. Not in an offensively, a grotesque way, or arrogant way. In a confidence in God way. In a confidence in God way. The righteous are bold. So the more that I grow in my identity, the more I escape the temptation and oppression of anxiety. Why? He loves fear out of me. He loves the fear out of me. Perfect love casts out. And I always picture that as a violent thing. Perfect love coming in all buff. Who are you? I'm perfect love. Who are you, little scrawny man? I'm fear. I'm casting you out of here. So God's big, powerful love removes our fear. So powerful. His perfect love. So the more my mind is renewed, the less my soul is oppressed. The more my mind's renewed about the kingdom of God. Kingdom thinking. I was thinking, so great having the Teen Challenge guys today. God bless you, Teen Challenge. What great seeing you guys. I'll tell you a little Teen Challenge story. So a few years ago, I was praying. We were looking at buying a downtown hotel and turning it to a rehab facility. And the Lord came to me, and I think it was $1.8 million, something like that. So I was the initial beginnings of a negotiation. And it needed a lot of work, but it would have been a place. And so the Lord said to me, Michael, if someone is doing a better job than you can do in this city, would you be willing to support them? I said, of course. The next week, my dear friends, the Moyers, called me, Pastor Jim Moyer, who we go way back to our previous church with, and now we're the home church in town for Teen Challenge. We're honored to be the home church for Teen Challenge. They're doing a better job than we could have done. Now, here's the point. It's amazing how much we can get done when we don't care who gets the credit. Okay? So that's kingdom-mindedness. About half of what we do as a church doesn't specifically, dynamically benefit our church. It benefits the city. It benefits other churches. It benefits other places. Kingdom people think differently. Kingdom people think differently. Okay? So Christ said that the very last verse of this chapter kind of gives us now a summation also. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not, so he gives some understanding that a lot of, if not most of, anxiety relates to the uncertainty about our tomorrow. Do not worry about tomorrow. So Jesus says, God, so our Father's so good, he's so loving, he's so kind, he's so great, he's so caring, he's so engaged. You don't have to worry about your tomorrow. He has your tomorrow. My future is in the hands of God, not in the hands of men. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, stuff will happen next year that you have to deal with. The stuff you're worrying about now won't even happen, but other stuff will happen. So what worry does, it steals the joy that my heart should have about my tomorrow. And then in my tomorrow, it steals the strength I should have to overcome. It robs me twice. It robs me today, it robs me tomorrow. So God has one purpose for your life, but 10,000 plans to make it happen. God can make it. God always has a plan. God always has a way of bringing his purpose to pass in our life. Worry is using your imagination to create something you don't want. When we're worrying, we're not trusting God. Next scripture in Psalm 37. I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. I love this chapter. This is the chapter God gave me my wife with 40 years ago when he told me just to trust him. Here's what the Bible says in the Passion, Psalm 37. Don't follow after the wicked ones or be jealous of their wealth. Don't think for a moment they're better off than you. They and their short-lived success will be shriveled up and quickly fade away, just like grass clippings in the hot sun. We can relate to that sentence right there. If you mow your lawn in July and don't rake up the grass in 2 minutes, it's disintegrated. You know, it shrivels up. Keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in his eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God, and you will be secure, feasting on his faithfulness. Make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life, and he will provide for you what you desire the most. Whew! Give God the right to direct your life. As you trust him along the way, you'll find he pulled it off perfectly. So good. So God says, trust me, I can do better than you. So worry means I'm not trusting. And whatever's causing that mistrust, I want to conquer. Whether it's unbelief or hurt or pain or uncertainty about God, we want to make sure we push past that and overcome it. Because God wants us to be free from it. In Christ's mighty name, amen. Amen. Anxiety happens when we think we have to figure everything out. Trust God. He always has a plan. He always has a plan. An hour of worry is more exhausting than a day of work. A day of worry is more exhausting than a week of work. We know physically there's a tremendous strain on your body that anxiety, stress, and worry bring. Worry fades away when we know and believe that our future is secure in God's mighty hands. That's your God. Amen. Okay, this is really serious, so let me lighten it up. What did the left eye say to the right eye? Between you and me, something smells. Never criticize someone until you've walked a mile in their shoes. That way, when you criticize them, you'll be a mile away and you'll have their shoes. That's not scripturally right. Why don't ants ever get sick? Because they have little antibodies. What? Roman likes it. What did the nose say to the finger? Quit picking on me. My boss just texted me, hey, send me one of your funny jokes. I text him back, I'm busy working. I'll send one later. That's hilarious, he said. Send another one. What did one toilet say to the other? You look flushed. My teachers told me I'd never amount to much because I procrastinate so much. I told them, just you wait. Why are teddy bears never hungry? Because they're always stuffed. Okay, I thought I'd close it up. In Philippians chapter 4, there is such a beautiful strategic kingdom principle for us to apply in our lives to live in the constancy of God's peace, overcoming the temptation to be anxious, worried, or fearful. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Okay, so how can I do that? I'm glad you asked. Bible says so. But in everything, By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Take it to Jesus. So it doesn't matter. You say, Pastor, I got a lot going on. Then fashion those worries into prayers. Don't be a worrier, be a warrior. Okay, I barely got that out right. So we don't want, instead of praying for problems to go away, give them away. Okay? So in other words, I can live better before things get better because I'm giving things that aren't better to God. Lord, take this. Take this. I give it to you. I give it to you. I give it to you. You know, I pray almost every day, God, I give you my future. I give you my future. And I literally have no concern about the future. Except lunch. Should I eat breakfast? I have no concern. Why? Because I've given it to God. God, you're in control. Michael made. I give my family to God every day. God, my family is yours. My future is yours. I give this church to God. God, this your church. I'm humbled that to serve here as a sheepdog, rough, rough, rough. You're the good shepherd. This is your church. Have your way. So all the things, because people ask me, I don't get the opportunity to counsel people like I used to. We have a great counselor in Pastor Judy Brown and Dr. McCray, but I counsel, this week I've already talked to, I think, the 7 pastors. So I talk to pastors a lot, and so lots of stuff going on. And so I keep secrets for a living. So people say, oh my gosh, Pastor, how do you handle all of that stress? You hear so many things, so many problems. I'm like, stress? You kidding me? Usually, before they finish the sentence, I say, let's pray. That's way too big for me. I'm not carrying that. I'm not going to be up all night thinking about that. Let's pray. Take it to Jesus. Take it to Jesus. So the quicker we do that, the quicker we get peace back. So the consequence of not worrying about anything but praying about everything is the next verse. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The word guard there is a great Greek word. It means to stand as a sentinel, stand guard. A armed guard protecting territory. Peace is one bad dude. Peace will keep you when you keep peace. So the power of it is this, that it, the idea of surpassing knowledge is this. Reason will explain to you why you should be worried. Revelation gives you authority not to be. My revelation of who God is. Well, aren't you worried? No, I got a revelation stronger than my reason. Okay? So that means no matter, because you can go through things in life and people say, how are you getting through this? Well, I know it's tough. There's a lot of stress, but I just keep giving it to Jesus. Come on, turn to someone and say, give it to Jesus. Yeah. Give it to Jesus. Message Bible says, Same verses. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Amen? So, it doesn't matter if you have to pray 100 times a day, a little prayer to God. You just keep giving it to God. Every time worry comes, turn it into a prayer, and the devil will stop sending the messenger of worry. He'll stop shooting that arrow against your soul because you're turning it against him, okay? You're using it to overcome his tactics against you. So God wants us, man, peace is such a powerful tool. We always make bad decisions when they're not made from a place of peace. We want peace to govern us. Peace is the normal condition of the human soul in the kingdom of God. Peace is normal. A lack of peace is abnormal. We want to contend for peace. We want to overcome whatever is trying to steal our peace and overcome that. Amen. Jesus said in John 14, peace I leave with you. I'm leaving them, but I'm taking up. I'm leaving you my peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Wow. Wow. The peace of Christ, the peace of God, the passes all understanding. Heavenly, supernatural, undefeatable peace. Come on. Peace is like a boxer with an undefeated record. Peace always wins when it is present in our souls. I leave you my peace. So he says this, the moment I give to you, you are now the steward of my peace. So we don't have to beg God for peace. We have to awaken our peace. When you got saved, it's in you. Remember? The fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace. It's in you. It's in you. Let it govern you. Let it control you. Let it rule. Let it protect you. Let it discern who should get in, who shouldn't get in. Amen? So we don't want to sweat. We don't want to let people keep irritating, agitating. We want to stay in peace. Stay in peace and live in victory. That's God's best for us. That's God's best for every person in this room. Amen? I want to do a little activation here about this. I did this Wednesday. I want to do it again today. Because God is so excited about bringing rest to your heart, bringing a restful peacefulness to your spirit. You with me? You don't want to wait to get till you get to heaven to find out you could have had heaven on earth by living in God's peace. It's called the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God's not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So one of the ways we get peace is to pray about things. So anybody besides me have a couple things you need to pray about? Maybe there are things you gave birth to. Maybe there are things you're married to. Maybe there are things you work with. Maybe there are needs or pressing issues. And so we're just going to give them all to Jesus. So just do this with me. Just put your hands out in front of you as in this exercise and just cup them like you're holding some kind of weight, some kind of a burden you got there. And I just want you to imagine now all the things that you're carrying that are stress issues with you. Just imagine those things right now being in your hands. Maybe it's financial pressure. Maybe it's a health uncertainty. Maybe it's children or other relatives or worries about the future. Whatever it is, I just want you to just imagine them all there. So the Bible says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer, with supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we're going to pray a prayer, and as we do, I'm going to ask you in that prayer to lift up your hands, just like you were giving these burdens to God, like you were releasing them heavenward. Father, we do what the Bible says. We cast our cares upon Jesus. We cast our cares on you, Father, because you care for us. And right now, in this moment, I pray for a miraculous consequence as your people show their trust in you, their faith in you, their reliance on you, their dependence on you, and their obedience to your word. We believe that you're going to take care of our needs. And so, Lord, we give you our issues and just whisper them to God. God, my family, my finance, my health, but whatever it is, God, I just give you these things that have been weighing on me, that have been worrisome, or that have been burdens I've been carrying. I just give them to you. And just as you just lift your hands, God, I just give them all to you. Come on, we just lift them up. We give them to you, Jesus. Keep your hands raised. We just give them to you. Just let it go. Come on, we're trusting God right now. We're shifting responsibility from our life to his, from our hands to his, from our ability to his ability. Thank you, God. We trust you. We look to you. We believe in you. And keep your hands raised, because the Bible says, and then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard and keep your hearts. Just right now, just to see peace coming into your heart. Right now, your hands raised. You're receiving heavenly peace. You're receiving the peace of God that is more powerful than your troubles, your burdens, your anxieties, your weights. That peace is just going to govern you, protect you, watch out for you, care for you, meet your needs, heal your hurts. It's going to do miracles in your family. Come on, God's in control. Anything can happen. Lord, we receive your peace. Come on, just breathe in his peace. Breathe in his rest. Breathe in his joy. Breathe in his love. That it's just causing your heart to find the blossoming place of restfulness in his presence, in his promises. Thank you, God, for your great peace. We receive it. We drink it in. We thank you for it. We're going to live in, thank you, God, for a whole week of peace this week. That nothing this day is going to steal my peace. When something comes up, I'm just going to pray about it. If something happens to the family, I'm going to forgive people. I'm not going to let anything happen that can steal my joy, that can rob my peace and remove my rest. God, I'm going to trust you and believe in you. Let me put down your hands for a minute. Let me just read you this in your notes. It's in your sermon, so I should include it. The very last thing I put in your notes was steps to reduce stress. Just 8 things. Pray and trust God. We just did that. Number 2, exercise. When you exercise, you release endorphins into your brain. Your body says that feels good. One of the ways that you can overcome physical stress, emotional stress, is by having some kind of regular, it doesn't have to be intense exercise. It just needs to be regular exercise. Go for a walk really early in the morning. Number 3, eat good. One thing that causes stress is not eating healthy. The way you feel today is a result of what you ate yesterday. So it's important that you create physical opportunities for your body to be stress-free. Number 4, Mary talked about it, get enough sleep. You tell the devil he can't steal any more of your sleep. You do like my wife has done, so proud of her, warring for her sleep. Number 5, meditate on God's word. As you meditate on God's word, his word brings rest to our souls. Number 6, don't procrastinate. When we put off things, we build more stress. So do it. And do it today. Take care of things. The longer you put off whatever it is, cleaning the house or doing the dishes, whatever it is, the longer you put off things, the greater they become, the more burdensome they become. So people that want to live stress-free are people that deal with things quickly. Number 7, don't stay angry. Don't stay. It's impossible to be stress-free if you're angry. Because your body, anger is literal stress on your nervous system. There's a physiological effect directly into your body when you're angry. That's negative. Lastly, don't worry. Don't overthink things. My wife and I are so different. Beautiful Mary, I don't overthink things. And I have kind of just a simple, manly way of looking at life. And, but my wife thinks about everything. She thinks, I'm so glad I have someone like that packs my suitcase, because then I'd be places with not having what I need. So she thinks about stuff. But I'm proud of her for not letting the capacity to be strategic in thoughts to be an obsession of worry. Because people that have that kind of activity in their mind, it's important that you don't let it turn its gaze toward anxiety, that you don't become anxious all the time. Amen? Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let worry is a misuse of your imagination. Don't let the enemy do it. Amen? So I'm grateful. This week, my wife helped me. She said, sweetheart. I said, yes, ma'am. So she called me into the kitchen, and there was vitamins all over the floor. She said, Michael, you don't put the cap on the vitamins. And when I got him to take them out, the lid was off and they spilled all over the floor. It would help me be less stressed if you'd put the cap on. I said, I can do that. I was just being lazy. And so I'm putting the caps on things, the mayonnaise and the vitamins and the peanut jar. And that's pretty easy way to de-stress. You could ask the person you live with, how can I de-stress your life? Whoops, did I trample on the dangerous territory there? Is there anything I can do that would make your stress level easier? So it was easy for me because I can put the, today I took my vitamin, I took the lid on. A loving husband. Stuff that doesn't bother me, but it helps her not have another thing to worry about. And there's something to that about creating cultures in our homes where we are contending for each other's peacefulness. Amen? Whatever that is. Whatever it is. Doesn't matter if it seems like a small thing to you. If it's a big thing to your partner, it's a big thing. Amen? If keeping the lid on the vitamin jar is a big thing to her, it's a big thing. That's all I will say. Hey, thank you for listening to me today. Would you stand to your feet?